church. And normally we don't do the prayer request, so we don't take that time, but we have this time where we do preaching and teaching, actually. And I don't always do it, but right now I'm doing it. It's called The Thrill of Hope, and The Thrill of Hope exists and has existed for 3.5 years to equip and inspire us to do good works, right? So we hope to be a people, we don't have a vision statement, we have three hopes. We hope to be a people who gather, both here and outside of here. We hope to be a people who pray, that's why we pray during service and spending the time, actually that hope is, I think, what birthed the Psalms as well. And we also hope to be a people who serve, that we don't think that serving wins our salvation, but we get to do this. This is something that we get to do, and we get to be equipped and inspired to do it, because sometimes it just gets hard, right? And so how we do this is each month we take a topic and we pray for it, talk about it, hopefully equip and inspire us, and then we also give. And so I haven't totaled it up, but I know this church is tiny, but we've been responsible over the last 3.5 years for it's got to be close to $100,000. It's probably more that we've helped raise and like inspired. Not all come from this church, but we are. That's the other thing in church planting. They say don't give money away, but we always give money away, and God seems to always like take care of us. So it's pretty cool. And this month we are talking about foster care and raising money for to provide a need for a DSHS home that is here in Snohomish County that a friend works at. And so I wanted to do two things. I said, first I was like, why support something that your tax money is already going to, right? So that's a good question, isn't it? I mean, that's the one that came up, and some people are like, I'm not going to give to that because it's already kind of funded and taken care of. But I was hit when we were reading through the story of Ruth this last year with our kids. In the time of Ruth and Naomi, Boaz would have been required to pay some of his grain and some of his income from the grain to the temple. And so into the church, and the church would in turn provide for the priest and provide for the building and provide for the poor. This is something that Boaz was required to do as a citizen of the community, to give so that these things would be used. It wasn't a monetary system, so it was like agricultural, so the grain would have been the money, right? And it would have gone to the poor, and if he was raising cattle, some of that would have gone as well. Of the new cattle. So in essence, Boaz paid taxes that were taking care of the church, the priest, and the poor, right? Like this is what he was doing. But then a poor woman came to glean in his field. And he was also generous to her, amen? Like it's one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. But and he provided for her. Not only that, he protected her. And so I think, you know, this is not necessarily fair, because he thought she was pretty attractive and was like, how can I find a way to marry this girl as well? So, I mean, but the truth is that he said, have her glean with the other women who are gleaning. So there was already women that he wasn't trying to marry gleaning. So he was helping the poor in his community, and not just his potential wife, but the other poor that were there as well. So he paid his taxes and helped the poor himself. And the cool thing is that in this situation, just as we pray about what do we do next for Thrill Hope, we get to do this as well, right? Something that our tax money is already going to, but we get to help as well. And we're going to do this in a couple different ways here. But we're not going to, like, pay extra taxes. We're not going to give them the money. We're going to buy something for them.
Well, they can't accept the money.
Yeah, they can't accept the money. So, it's interesting that as we think about this, foster care is one of the most interesting things. And we've actually never raised money for it, surprisingly enough. I don't think we ever have done hand in hand or anything like that. We've raised money for kids stuff, just not foster care. But I did a child welfare data. It's at a glance, and I forgot to write down the website info, but it says how many reports of children abused or neglected are investigated by Children's Administration in Washington State every year, and there was an assessment for about 43,800 households in 2016. 43,800 households in 2016. I tried to get specific and find Snohomish County numbers. I'm not that good at research online. So, but in the same year, nearly 6,060 children entered out of home care and went into foster care. That's a lot of kids in our state. When I was working in the jails, I met some of these kids. That would be considered out-of-home care as well. And DSHS actually runs Echo Glen as well. So we have currently, as of January 1, 2017, again, I couldn't get 2018 numbers, there were 8,800 children in out-of-home care. And this approximates to 5.5 out of every 1,000 children in Washington State that are in these homes. And so where do the children go when they're removed from the homes? Well, some go to foster families. Some go to great foster families. Some go to not so great foster families that abuse them and take advantage of them. Some go to group homes, right? And they're scattered all throughout. Some go to the jails that they have for kids as well. And in the group homes, by the way, the group homes, no one likes living there. I've talked to plenty of kids that live there. No one likes them. They don't like them. It's usually either a boys' home or a girls' home, and they get together, and there's usually like infighting because they come from different gangs, and there's more freedom than the jail system, so they fight each other a lot of times. At least that's the kids I was dealing with. Not all homes are like that, but many are. And so the typical stay, it says on that website, the typical stay in one of these homes is between 15 and 18 months in essentially what we'd call an orphanage, right? That's what these are, state-run orphanage. And what are the outcomes of children placed in this? 57% of children were reunified with parents, 16% were adopted, 5% were placed with a guardian, and 3% became emancipated, and 16% remained in out-of-home care. It's kind of staggering numbers, you know, to think about this. And I wonder, even like the became emancipated, is that they just turned 18? Is that what that means?
Legally, you can become an adult under 18. So okay. That's what that means. Either they became 18 or they did all the paperwork. Like, I think it's up to the courts, but you can do it like
okay.
But most of the time, that's like 14 to 14, 15, 16, 17, they say, I'm close enough, I want to go live on my own, my parents don't have control over me anymore. That's what emancipating yourself means.
Okay. In 2016, nearly 51% of all the children who entered out-of-home care were under the age of 5. I don't even want to think about that. African-American children were 2.2 times, and Native American children were 2.9 times more likely to be placed in out-of-home care compared with white children. I didn't say anything about Hispanic in there, but I'm sure the rates are higher for that as well, would be my guess. So this is the population that we get to serve. I mean, this is happening in our community. In fact, a 5-mile stretch of Casino Road, where Casino Road Kids Ministry used to be, within a 5-mile stretch of there, like 80% of the removals, like the emergency removals out of families, took place within a 5-mile radius of Casino Road. That's incredible. That means it's happening right here, like these neighborhoods, right here. And so, and then where they get placed isn't necessarily here in this area, not all the time. They can get placed in different places. So as we do this, the Crisis Residential Center for Children in Arlington is where our friend works and where we're going to support. And here's how we're going to buy them stuff, whatever they need. That's one way, so financially, but we're also, this is what they're looking for. And so if you guys have this, let's see if we can get it to her. Like, let's see if we can figure out a way to get it to her. They need a new or a good used couch. You're great at finding those just on the sidewalk, Angie. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Furniture in general.
Okay. But, so a new or a nicer used couch. So what this home is basically a dump. and they don't want it to be a dump. They want, if their average stay is 15 to 18 months, they want it to feel like home, right? They want it to feel like a warm, inviting place. Like the kids are already going through so much, might as well make it inviting. And so then they have two washing machines and two dryers. They're on separate floors. And like the washer upstairs works and the dryer downstairs works, but they don't work in that, like it's, but the dryer upstairs doesn't work and the, you know, the dryer downstairs doesn't. So it's mixed match. And so it's actually a lot of work.
They don't have anyone to go move it.
Yeah, they don't have anyone to go move it, and they don't have, and so if y'all were thinking about getting a new washer and dryer and we're just like, but you didn't know what to do with yours, we have a place that would gladly receive that, or if we can maybe fix that. Another one that might be a little bit, yes, ma'am.
Or she would love for a team or somebody to move the unit so they're together.
Oh.
Because the staff is having to run up and down every time on top of managing the kids and breaking up fights and whatnot. Oh. So they would just like the units to be together, whichever floor it is.
Lack of exercise? I'm just kidding.
So that is...
Okay, yeah, well, we can figure out that.
Yeah.
That you can move a washer and dryer by yourself, right? Just with the dolly.
Oh,
the dryer you can, but...
The washer's pretty heavy.
Water washer needs a few.
Okay.
I don't have a stair climbing dolly.
No, we do. Well, Shane does. I'll make Shane do it.
If we find a couch around here, it's one of those things like we drive the couch up. Hopefully it's with a washer dryer, and then we do the old ones working and the new
ones
downstairs.
Yeah, absolutely. And so they also need warm, medium, and large blankets. They only have twin beds there, but they also need blankets. So if we have blankets, we can take those. We can take those up there. I know Mo and I have blankets, and we have a bunch. We have a couple that we can get rid of, and we're gonna donate them and just wash them. Please, you know, if you bring them, let's wash them. Also, dressers for the kids. If you have any of those, maybe we can give that Lego one away. The one where all the train tracks are at. Anyway, but then too, they asked for prayer for two things. One is staff communication, that the staff will just be able to communicate well. But then too, like they had an autistic boy who was 18 years old who left, and he was last seen on August 27th on Broadway in Everett with an unknown male, and they haven't seen him since. And so, you know, he's 18, so he's kind of out, but he's got other things going on. And so they don't know where he is, and it's a concern. So we're going to pray for that. So that's what we get to do this month, is we get to help help foster care in the residential center for children in Arlington. So that's what we get to do. Any questions? Who wants to pray for staff communication? I will. Okay. You're going to pray for the autistic kid. I'll pray for the staff communication. Go ahead, Luke.
Jesus, pray for, first of all, like, it's not fun to hear news like this, but I think we can all become quickly immune to it. So I pray that we just sit with the uncomfortableness of it and let it sit there and cry out to you in the midst of that pain and suffering that's most likely causing all of us right now, and know that you love these kids more than we do, and help us to just sacrifice for them in the little ways we can that are very easy for us realistically to help out with these tangible gifts. Pray that this boy will be found, and others like him would just get better services and better help, and that just have a vision that all the churches would help so much with groups like this, that the government would come along and say, well, you guys are doing this better than we can. Maybe we could just pull our funding and all our taxes could go down. But either way, we pray that churches would help just be involved more with places like this and help in addition, and that we wouldn't use the excuse that our taxes help cover this to allow us to not feel the hurt and not be called to action if your Holy Spirit is truly calling us to help.
Yeah. Lord, we ask for clear communication, which in the midst of confusing times, Lord, we ask that the staff will just be on the same page and be able to really, as their hearts go out to these kids. Lord, it can also be exhausting, so grant them rest, and I pray that they may communicate well and be able to not only communicate with each other well, but communicate the fact that even though they may be stern and there may be like rules in place, but Lord, that comes from a place of love, and so that love may be communicated as well. In Jesus' name, amen.